Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel of Holland.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There is wonder-working power in the blood. There is power. Power. Wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Reading from Romans chapter 8, beginning at verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even so we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So far we read the Holy Word of God. When you read the book of Ezra, when the captives came back, they read it from morning till noon, and then gave the sense of it. Let's pray that God will give us the understanding of these words and the experience of it to the glory of God and for our present and eternal good, that again the church might be revived, our homes might be healed, and the nation will then be able to follow what takes place both in the home and the church, how we need it. Let's pray for it. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus. We come giving thanks in His name for every blessing given. We give thanks, Father, for Thy loving the world and giving Him Thy only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Help each one of us to know that we begin our lives as perishing sinners. We must be born again. And as Thou hast said, Lord Jesus, except you be converted and become as little children, that we cannot enter Thy kingdom. Help us to believe all these things as we read them in an understanding way, this letter to the church at Rome, the way of sin, salvation, and service, or gratitude. And we pray, Father, that as we come to this part here, particularly on the way of sanctification, on the way of being conformed to the image of Christ, of living a life of thankfulness to Thee, we pray that Thou would enable us to do it, and that we might plead that blood we read and hear in the song. And we pray, Father, for that blessing to be given in a mighty way. We know it has been given in the past. We know it has been given to the different churches that had their beginning in truth and in power. We know that there has been a time of reformation, time of revivings and awakenings, and we pray for that again in our time of what we almost call postmodernism, that we are even beyond what are called liberal ways, wrong ways, more and more, many that are not even believing in Thee. Many have not believed in Thee as Creator. And here we read of the creation groaneth. And it is Thy creation, Father, and help us again to believe it, that Thou in the beginning didst create the heavens and the earth, and only then can we have a right beginning with Thee, believing that Thou art, and that Thou art a rewarder of them that diligently seek Thee. We pray for these spiritual things first and above all, for Thy glory, for our present and eternal good, the church again might be a salt and a light in our nation and every other nation as well. We can give thanks also for the temporal blessings that we have had, our day of thanksgiving, our time of realizing what Thou dost give us as a nation, the beginning of our pilgrim forefathers, and how they came here out of persecution, how they came here to worship Thee, and to give us a place in the future generations. Father, we fear that we have come entirely a different way, that we have nothing good to give to our future generations, that it is a frightful picture of what our children and our grandchildren may have to suffer if we continue to deny Thee the way we are, deny Thy holy laws, deny Thy blessed ways in the home and in the church and in the nation, and that some no longer want to acknowledge and say we are one nation under Thee. Help us to see, Father, that if we are not under Thee, that we are in rebellion, and we are in dire straits. Some of our sins we are guilty of which Thou hast said, those that shed man's blood, by man shall their blood be shed. And help us to see that that is coming. It shall take place, as Thou hast said. And we pray that, as we know it will come, there may be a waylaying, that there may be a time today of repentance and reviving. We pray also, Father, for those that need the healing hand in the body. We pray for the homeless. We pray for the persecuted. We pray for the war-torn lands. We pray for the sick to be healed, if it could be Thy will, that we may be kept from worse ways of the virus that has afflicted our country and other nations as well. And we pray for other ailments, that they might be healed also. We pray, Father, for the many that are suffering in different ways, sorrow, those in older age. We pray that Thou wilt look in mercy on all of them and on us. And again, we have so much to give Thee thanks for that others do not have, and we pray for them through Christ. Amen. As we look at these words again, wonderful place of victory, but also a place of warning. Beginning with verse 9 through verse 17, we have 8 statements with if. 2 in verse 9, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. And then the second one, also in the same verse, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. What a solemn statement following that word if. That's where it is conditioned on. If we have the Spirit of Christ, we are His children. And if not, we are none of His. And if we're not of His, we are of Satan's. The 10th verse again, there we have it once. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Verse 11 also once. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. And then down to the 13th verse, we have again 2 times, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. One way, a terrible way. And the other, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. We have here life and death, and oh, what a difference! Eternal life with God, eternal death without God, without hope, forever and ever. Then going on to the 17th verse, the word if, again, 2 times. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. And then the second if in the middle of the verse, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. These are not conditions that we earn, but these are conditions that we work out. We prove there's something been worked in us, something been given. Yes, given. Given by grace, given by power, given by love, given by the Spirit of God, given because Christ died to pay for it. Given, given, given. If you have it, oh, has it been given to you? Have you been given repentance so you come to acknowledge God of what He said about you? Sin, only a sinner. And if we are God's children, we can say, only a sinner saved by grace, only a sinner saved because of another. F's here must fit. Where we began to read today, verse 13, we mentioned that last week in closing. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. A fearsome thing. How often have I lived after the flesh, not thinking about the kingdom of God, seeking it first, working it out first, just going about our everyday life. Eat, drink, and be merry. That's not God's kingdom. As I said last week, Paul says, whatever you do, whether you eat or whether you drink, do it to the glory of God. Oh, how much we do after the flesh, only for the flesh. We call it proud flesh. And it's a solemn word. It's one of the shells that God gives, and He gives many throughout the Scripture. One that we quoted earlier, those that shed man's blood by man shall their blood be shed. We've got that coming. The innocent babies, their blood has been shed. Some of it has gone to the landfill. I've seen pictures of it. Terrible, terrible, terrible. When one of us die in an older age, even a younger age, we spend thousands for a burial to have everything nice, flowers, a casket, everything to try to take away the solemnness of death. But those babies, terrible. One mother watched the doctor after he had cut the baby in pieces, put it in a bag. And that was her last abortion, she said. She had some before. One of them asked for the bag and took it in the bathroom and didn't want to come out for a long time. It's a terrible, terrible thing. Yes, it is a terrible thing. And I've said it sometimes over the radio and have people contradict and come up with other things. And what about this and what about that? One of God's shells is going to come if we live after the flesh. Death, death, death. Judah experienced it. God said he could not pardon Judah because of the innocent blood that was shed. And that is living after the flesh. How many people in our country have voted only after the flesh? They are in the land of give me, give me, give me. And they are in the land of people that will foolishly promise something they can't give and they can't do and they never did. We've got the example of other nations that have gone that way. And we are following. And we are falling into the hands of some of our enemies that will probably be the way that God brings death to our shores. Some of us may be carried away, as the Jews were in their captivity. Some of us may die. Some of us may be in prison. We are on the verge of it. And our only hope is to believe these words here as Paul writes them. Between life and death. He gives that promise. If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Oh, I hope it's not too late. For Judah, it was too late at one time. It was on time earlier. God says, if you repent, you will not remove. But as time went on, he warned by his prophets, sending them early, because he had compassion on his people and on his place. And it says, till there was no remedy, no remedy left. And he told Jeremiah, pray not for this people. I would urge you to pray more than we do. Myself, more than I do. We need to pray together. We need to get in one as the early group of believers, one accord in one place in prayer and supplication. Then Pentecost came. Then they had the beginning of it. If you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. We don't know what the apostles all did. How ashamed they were of what they did during the time of crucifixion, hiding. The time of resurrection, not believing it. When the women said it, it was as idle tales. The apostles, not believing what had happened, not believing what the Scriptures has said. As even Peter and John are described, they knew not yet the Scriptures. Do you know the Scriptures? Do I know the Scriptures as we should? If we both did, we would be one. There wouldn't be the divisions in the church if we knew the Scriptures. If we knew how important they are. If we knew how we are to have them with the Spirit. Why don't we listen to all the Scripture? We want this, we want that. I won't go into the details. It would upset some people if I would say what's wrong. Wrong in some of our ways in which we live in the church, the way we practice, the way the church has killed each other for it in the past, at the time of the Reformation. In our land, people were in prison. People were beaten. People were driven out of the villages, of the towns, out of the state. Our wonderful land. Our land that our pilgrim forefathers gave us the day of Thanksgiving, gave us a blessing of example. They didn't live after the flesh. They denied the flesh. That first group that came, the Plymouth settlement, almost half of them died that first winter. But they were there for you and me. They were there for the future. As I said before, what are we giving the future? Too much of self. Too much of eat, drink, and be merry. Too much of neglect so great salvation, and that is for the lost. How shall we escape if we neglect salvation? but it is also for the saved in sanctification. If we neglect the way of sanctification, if we live after the flesh and do not mortify the deeds of the body, we aren't living in the way of sanctification. We aren't proving that God did something in us. We aren't proving that we believe God did something for us that's so wonderful, so great, that we should do as Paul writes here, even plainer, a little further, in the 12th chapter, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your bodies are sacrifice, not living after the flesh and keeping it and satisfying the flesh. Mortify the deeds of the body. What is your body doing? What does your body want? Are you mortifying anything in your body? Do you see that it's rising up against God? Do you see that it doesn't want to go the straight and narrow way? It wants the broad way with others, the way that many are going at? Are we following the multitude? Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. If our counting of our votes was right last fall, many have voted the way of death. Many have voted the way of casting away what God has given us through our pilgrim forefathers. Many have given away what we have had by faith in God. One nation under God. One nation blessed by God. As I said, a big group of our people don't want to acknowledge that. They didn't want to say it. That we are one nation under God. We are under God, and they will learn it when we are under God's judgment. Yes, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death, under God's jurisdiction, under God's justice. We can either have God's grace forgiven, like David had, the wonderful way that God brought about forgiveness for him through Nathan the prophet going to him and David saying, I have sinned. That's not the way today. And if we are in such a place, not calling the things of the flesh the way of sin, what are we? What do we do? John wrote in the first epistle, chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say we have no sin, what about the sin of fornication, the sin of sodomy, the sin that is rightly called fornication? Listen to what God tells us by the pen of Jude. It says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities and about them in the like manner, giving themselves over to fornication, not marriage, not even adultery. Fornication is the sin of the unmarried. Just look it up in the dictionary. Some want to say, well, we can make it the same as adultery, but there's a difference. And many times God uses both words in one verse, adulterers and fornicators. He gives it two different classes. And the people at Sodom were described as giving over to fornication, not adultery. They weren't married. They were the unmarried ones living in that way, called sodomy, described as strange flesh, to set forth an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Yes, it rained fire and brimstone on the city, but it was an example of eternal fire. God may not visit us that way. This was to Sodom and Gomorrah, and we have another place, to the church. This can happen in the church, a church that was far different than this church at Rome, where Paul said, if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Churches that had a beginning that were called the church. Listen to what Christ told John to write to them. Revelation, the second chapter, writing to the church at Thyatira. He says, you have there that woman called Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and the hearts, and I will give every one of you according to your works. She had taught fornication, we have right here in our city, dealing with the ways of the homosexuals, the lesbians, their rights, and what should be done. And a woman pastor led the way to try to have our city fathers allow the rights of the homosexuals, probably more than what should be recognized. When I was young, the police and sheriff's department could arrest. The laws were there. Arrest those if they were found guilty in homosexual acts. I hate to say these things, but I want to say it because only when we know this can we give each other the good news. Can we give each other the God so loved the world. He loved the world of sinners. He loved the world perishing. He loved the world of fornication to stop that way. And we can't tell him to stop if it's not sin. And listen again to what John said. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. God calls it fornication. And God says, for these things cometh the wrath of God on the children of disobedience. Oh, what a difference in those areas and those churches than what Paul is saying here to the church at Rome, which was a very good church. Their faith was known throughout the world. It's true, toward the end, he told them also it was high time to wake out of sleep. They probably were drifting, but here they had the blessing that all of us need and the wonderful beginning of the right way. And listen to it again. Verse 14 here in chapter 8. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, children of God, daughters of God, sons of God. What else is there? Children of Satan. Christ said to some in his audience, you are of your father, the devil, and the works of your father you will do, even though they said, we have Abram to our father. And they proved Christ to be right when he said, you will do the works of Satan. He was a murderer. He was a liar. And they were liars, and they were murderers. The end of the chapter says they took up stones to stone him. They wanted to murder. They were, as Christ said they were, but they didn't believe it. They said, we're not in bondage. We're not sinners. We're not guilty. We can safely say that these people at Rome were, as Paul said, guilty. That every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Read it in chapter 3, verse 19. That was the experience. And now, after they had that, after they had the blessing of the gospel, the power of the gospel, the power of the blood, you could say, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The spirit of conviction first, and then the spirit of faith in Christ, by which we have our soul set free, our sins forgiven. Sins forgiven. Oh, what a blessing. How sad it is when we return to it, an awful way, sowing to the flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, we shall the Spirit reap life everlasting.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise